for me, I'm probably less joyful most of the time, right? Or you know, maybe some reasons can be, you know, you find out that there's probably something in your life that might be going really well, you know? And for example, you know, you might find out that you got this paycheck coming in tomorrow, you know, and for some reason you feel excited about that. And then, you know, there's, you know, financial reasons, or, you know, maybe there's this conflict you had that finally got resolved and it's like, whoa, you know, with this person, or the, like a sign of forgiveness happened, or whatever it might be. But I think, but maybe you're in this class because the minute you're joyful, it loses in just a second. You know, the minute something in your life happens that brings you down or makes you discouraged, or, you know, but I got a couple more reasons why that might be the case. You know, maybe for example, I don't know if you guys know about pending transactions on your credit card. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like one of the most discouraging things about that is over the weekend, it's not business days. And so what happens is you're swiping that bad boy, whoop, 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 you know? And that doesn't change the amount you have in your account.
Right.
But when Monday hits and that first business day comes, all the transactions you made just gets wiped out and you overdraft now, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe even sometimes financial situations like that can just kind of still, like, oh, I was happy when I saw this, but then, wow, this is the reality of where I'm really at, you know? Or maybe somebody just put mayonnaise in your sandwich. You know? And you are just so upset. You're just so angry, right? We got any mayonnaise haters in here?
No.
We got some mayonnaise haters.
It's just like
that's something that I literally, that just steals my joy in so many different ways.
Talk about it.
But here in this class, the reality in our prayer is that you can walk out of this class. Because here's the deal. In life, you're going to have trouble. Period. This is not a class on how to have joy always, all the time, and it's always going to be happy and jolly. No, the world we live in, it's not designed for that. Like, God has a different plan outside of what you're seeing in this world. We're going to talk more about that. But my prayer is that we can leave today having the joy that we can decide to have consistently. And that's my hope for you guys today. So what is joy? Let's get a couple hands. How would you define joy? What would you say joy is? In back?
It's just constant assurance that God's with you.
Okay, constant assurance that God's with you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to define what joy is? I see a hand back here. Somebody sitting down here.
Fulfillment.
Whoever said that. Is that John?
Adrian.
All right. Cool. Adrian. All right. Fulfillment. All right. Here.
Joy is based on perspective. Well, happiness is based on circumstance.
Okay. Having a perspective despite the circumstance. A different perspective. Okay. Cool. We'll have to take one more. Yeah. Way in the back.
Recently, I was studying joy, and a lot of it, I think, your joy should stem from God.
Joy stemming from God, that's where it comes from. Yeah, no, that's true. I think what a lot of you guys said is true. And when I think about joy, I got a chance to look up the Greek in that. And the Greek word for joy is called kara, right? Kara. Kind of like face in Spanish, for those who know Spanish, right? So what this means is it's a natural reaction to the work of God.
Yeah.
That's literally what joy is. It's a natural reaction towards the work of God. And what do I mean by that? For some of us, you know, you go on Facebook and you don't really plan to cry. You know, you don't plan to have, like, feelings and stuff, right? But, you know, you're going up and down your newsfeed and then this video about, like, a pet adoption comes up, right? Or a child being adopted, right? And then we just can't help but be drawn to it, right? And then so we sit down and we spend 10, 15 minutes watching the whole video, right? It's like you can't stop it once you're in it. But there's something about that video, about the idea of adoption, about the idea of being loved, that we just gravitate towards that. And it's not necessarily the video that we're experiencing this joy from, but it's the act. Mm-hmm. And that act is the same act of God. Why? Because he adopts us. You know, God loves us. He takes us in. He took us out of the world and adopted us to take care of us. And that's why we experience joy in those moments. It's because joy only comes from the acts of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Only when you see the work of God before you, you know, and also think about this, for those of you who've been baptized into Christ, you know, for those who experienced that, could you say that you were pretty joyful on that day?
Yeah.
Right, and let me make this clear, but let me help you to see why you were so joyful on that day. When you came up out the water of baptism, right, Did your bank account change? Did you get more money in your bank account? You were still broke, right? You know, when you got baptized, single, you came up?
Single.
Single, right? I mean, you didn't get up married and sell the man to get dreams. You know, a lot of times this didn't work like that, right? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, you had this joy that you just couldn't even explain. But that's that joy that we're going to be talking about today. Mm-hmm. It's a joy that only God can give you, no matter what your circumstances.
Yeah.
And so that's what true joy is. And so I want to also just kind of ask you, just how do you decide to view your Christianity? Mm-hmm. Because the thing about joy is that it doesn't come naturally. As human beings, that's just not something we just can possess. You know, so when you view Christianity, do you view it as a burden? You know, do you view it as, man, this is what I got to do, and, you know, these different things? Because when you came out the waters of baptism, I mean, you didn't do anything yet. All you did was got baptized, but you were so happy, and you were so joyful. So there has to be something about that it's not about works that brings me the joy, but it's just me and God that brings me joy, and that's where it comes from. But how do you view Christianity? Do you view it as a, man, this is a joyful opportunity for me to really follow God and to do all these incredible things that he wants to accomplish through me? You know, and I want to actually help us with this myth as well. So there's a myth that I believe for a long time, is that all the pain and all the things that I've been through in my life was all part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. Guys, I'm here to tell you that is a lie.
Yeah.
God never intended for you to go through any of the pain you ever went through in your life. Mm-hmm. All the joy that's been taken away from you, that was never part of God's plan, ever. How do I know this? In Genesis 3, verse 8, it says, as they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden, right? And so before they actually started hiding from God, right? Mm-hmm. Before all that stuff happened, they experienced absolute joy. They were just with God. Like, God was literally among them in their presence. And that was all they wanted. And how you know? Because, I mean, they didn't have any rent. They had to pay no rent. They had to pay no bills. I mean, there was none of that. It was just them and God, and they were just content. They were joyful. And that's all they needed. You know, and then we look at John 10:10. You can write this down. But it says, the thief only comes to steal and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and life to the full.
Right.
Jeremiah 29, for most of us, this is one of the first scriptures we ever read when we read the Bible. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. So that whole saying that everything, all the pain you went through was what God wanted for you, mm-hmm. It's a lie. There's nowhere in scripture that shows that. So everything that you went through was never part of God's plan. He intended you to have joy, complete joy and complete peace in a relationship with him. You know, but in John 16:33, this is where it was stolen. You know, Jesus tells us here, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
But take heart, I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. You know, the truth is, in this world, we're going to have trouble. But Jesus is our hope. He is who's going to help us get through every challenging situation we've ever been through. You know, but Satan wants to come in and steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Danielle's going to come up and talk about, you know, God's intentions for our lives to experience joy.
I love what Charles was sharing, because what we experience is the condition of a fallen world, not the condition of God and who he is, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that some people in this class, they may be dealing with a lot of strong emotions. Real things have happened to them. You've got to experience some real heartbreak and pain and things like that. Feelings of frustration and disappointment, that's valid. That's real. You know, another myth buster is that Christianity, you got to smack a smile on your face and everything has to be okay and great, and that's what it means to be a Christian. And that's just not true. That's not the reality. We see in the scriptures, Jesus wept. Jesus went through a wide range of emotions, and that's okay for us as well. What we need to learn now is for our feelings to be indicators. They indicate things that are going on, but they're not dictators in our life, right?
Yeah.
They don't guide what we do and how we act, right? But they show us what's going on for real, you know, for us not to be consumed in those things. When we allow our emotions to control us, we get so caught up in our circumstances. And I think that's what you were sharing as well, is that what joy is despite the circumstances, right?
Yeah.
There's a scripture in Romans 15:13 that I love. and says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." A lot of this involves trust, because what we're doing is talking about something that's countercultural to what the world does, and maybe some of the things that you were raised with, or some of the things that you do naturally, right? It requires for us to trust God that he has a plan, and that the reason he's calling you to look outside your circumstances is because there's something bigger, yeah. You know? So as we talk about these different things, hold on to that. You know, what am I allowing to shape my perspective? You know, what am I allowing to influence me the most? Is it my own emotions and my feelings, or is it the truth that I find in the Word? You know, and find from God's promises, you know? And I had to reconcile that for a long time, because I had to realize that nowhere in the scriptures did God promise that I would never go through anything ever. That no one close to me would die. He never promised that. He never promised that I would get every job that I applied for or get into every school that I wanted to go to. Instead, we see those promises that that Charles was talking about before, that hardships will come, yeah. You know? So that's what we need to start shaping our mind and thinking about. Well, how can I prepare and be ready when the hardships come, yeah. So I can focus on God completely?
Amen. Yeah. That's great.
Spiritual. Okay. So basically, oh wait, I'm on the wrong page. Oh no, we good. So Romans 12 verse 1 to 2, write the scripture down. It says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds." I think a lot of what the world says you will get joy in, it's only temporary, guys. I mean, we think about money, we think about a relationship, we think about all these different things that have no anchor. You know, these things just, they just bring sadness, and we experience disappointment in those different things. But God's trying to get us to transform the way we think about our hardships. And so the world, what it likes to do, it likes to put the acronyms of joy in this way: yourself, others, and then Jesus.
Yeah.
But for us, and how we're going to do it today is the other way around, which actually spells out joy, is Jesus, others, then yourself.
Wow.
And so we're going to start in the first section. It's going to be Jesus. Right, so joy, we get joy from Jesus. And how that happens is God gives us a different perspective. You can write this down as a subpoint. You put like A in the right godly perspective there. Yeah, thanks, bro. So let's open up our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. It's going to kind of help us here. We're going to look at Jesus' perspective here as he was going to the cross. In Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read it in the NLT translation. But it says, "Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up." You know, Jesus, man, just imagine if you lived 33 years of your life, just imagine this for a second. And you knew exactly how you were going to die. You knew exactly all the relationships that were going to be broken, that you were going to be denied, and that you were going to go through all these things. But what if you actually knew exactly how it was going to happen for you? How would you live your life? Well, that would be pretty challenging, right? That would be really hard. Like, if I knew exactly how this person is going to betray me and how I'm going to be killed and when I'm going to be killed. But what's amazing about Jesus is that he lived his whole life joyfully, knowing exactly the answer to all those questions. That's like, that blows my mind.
Yeah.
So that, honestly, that shows me that joy is not something we could just get out of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is something, it's a decision, it's a choice,
right,
that we gotta make according to God's promises, and it's true.
Right.
You know, and joy is something that is totally 100% our control.
Yeah.
We can make a decision to be joyful. It is a decision. And, you know, I want to read this quote here from Charles Swindoll. Not because he has the same name as me, I mean, but it's a pretty good quote.
Okay.
There's a lot of Charleses going on in this retreat, right? I mean, we got Maurice Charles, we got Charles. We got Joseph Charles, right? Pierre, right there. Okay. But hearing this quote, it's pretty cool, and it's very convicting for me. But it says, by Charles Swindoll, he's a Christian author, and he said, "I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% how I react to it."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really true. You know, because life, we can't control where it goes. But we can control how we view it.
Yeah.
And the perspective we have when things happen to us. Mm-hmm. You know, and think about it. You know, for me, I can just share for a second. But I remember being an intern in 2014. 2014. Mm-hmm. But I was an intern with the campus ministry, and I was just trying to get some training on being, you know, being a leader and those different things. And I remember we had a go away at a beach for a whole day, and it was great. Got planned out. It was awesome. And so I remember being there, and I was just so frustrated the whole time. Like, I was just there just pouting, you know. And it was because of this homework assignment I didn't get a good grade on. Like, it was so petty. I was really petty, by the way. But it was just, I was petty about everything, man. I mean, the minute things happen and it doesn't go my way, I'm like, well, you know, everybody gonna feel this. You know, it's real, right? Let's keep it real. So that was kind of my attitude when I was there. And I remember everyone's having a great time, and I'm just in the back just strolling. You know, like, and I was just having such a bad day, and it was something off of a homework assignment. I mean, it was bad, and I remember the brother just sitting down with me and telling me, like, hey, you know, what's going on? Because I wasn't getting open either. I was just like, oh, man, I was so petty. Well, you ever look back at yourself a couple years ago, like, what in the world was I thinking? I'm glad, you know, when we get to heaven, I hope God don't got these videos of like, yo, you know, remember that? Remember how I got you do that, bro? I'm just like, I don't even want to see that. But I was just so petty, you know. But the brother sat me down and he talked to me, and he encouraged me so much, you know, just about like, man, dude, like, you know, he just kind of helped me to see my character, you know, and helped me to see, like, wow, you're easily swayed by negativity. You know, you're easily swayed by things that are just, honestly, that aren't even meaningless or eternal. You know, and I really had to hear that, because my perspective was off. My perspective wasn't in line with what God was thinking through this assignment that I didn't hand in. You see that? And so I looked at it, and I'm like, you know what? Wow, this is an area I can grow in my character. And that's the beauty of it. That's the joy that comes from it. Sometimes we just get stuck on the fact that we messed up, but we don't see the result of what we can gain from that mess up. Yeah. And just the beauty of our character and being more like Jesus. Yeah. And I think that's where the joy comes from, is the fact that that doesn't have to define who you are. You know, your mistakes, what you've been through, doesn't define who you are. It's God who does it. Yeah. And through these situations, that's how he defines who you are. He looks at you and he sees Jesus, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I needed that realization in my life, and I needed that, you know, to really see and have a perspective of, wow, that's what Jesus did. You know, he saw the cross, but the cross wasn't what motivated him. It was the joy that he can be with you in heaven forever that motivated him.
Yeah.
And that right there is the beauty. That's where you find joy. Is finding the result of what I'm actually going through.
Yeah.
And that the fact that we're going to be with God, you know, and that's encouraging. And so the second point on here, you can write B for this, but joy comes from obeying his word. Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you feel when you hear this word obedience? Just think about it for a second. Right, negative, right? Like, just, oh, snap, obey, I gotta do something that maybe I don't feel like doing, right? So obedience can feel like this weight of like, man, I have to do something, or, you know, and it pulls on us a little bit, you know, but what's the beauty of it is that through, God's plan is through obedience is to bring you, through. He wants to use obedience to bring you joy, because on the other side of his obedience is joy. Like, that's how we can find it. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. We're going to go to Old Testament a little bit. But this is we're going to read about Naaman. Anybody know who Naaman is in the Old Testament? Or Naaman? Some people call him Naaman because he got two A's in it. So. Naaman. Yeah, let's turn over to Naaman. You know, 2 Kings chapter 5. So Naaman was a guy who had leprosy. And for those of us who don't know what leprosy is a skin disease, right? Where literally your skin is filled with bacteria, and your skin just starts deteriorating, right? And that's how you died. You know, they didn't have cure for leprosy at this time. And so just imagine the emotional pain that he must have been through, right? Knowing that he was a leper, and he was literally going to die because of his disease, and there was no cure, no hope, and nothing, you know? And so let's read in a verse. We can read a verse. We start in verse 4. I mean, I'm sorry, verse 1, 2 Kings 5. It says, now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. Sorry, I need some water real quick. All right. Verse 2. But he had leprosy. Verse 2. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master could see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and will know that there is a prophet in Israel?" So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan." I'm going to say that one more time. "Go wash yourself 7, there's a reason why I'm saying 7, 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand on the call in the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy." Let's stop there. Okay, so Naaman, right, he has leprosy, he's in this desperate situation, he's just out of it emotionally, right? So then God's like, "Let me help you out, bro." Mm-hmm. So he sends them directions, right? And instructions to go out and be dipped 7 times in the Jordan. Literally 7 times. And so what Naaman does is he hears the instructions and he's like, "Whoa, hold up, what? I gotta do what? You telling me I gotta get in there 7 times? Wait, what about this other river on the other side? What about these other places I can get cured at?" And I think Naaman, it was kind of like, "Bro, you have leprosy. Why are you complaining about following these simple instructions, right?" But here's the thing. That's what the world does, right? Mm-hmm. They see something that God says, and they don't want to obey it. Mm-hmm. They come up with all these different reasons, and they get emotional about it. Mm-hmm. When literally, if he just obeyed that, he will be cured of his leprosy. Wow. And I think what happens, the reason why we struggle so much with joyfulness sometimes, it's because we're not really struggling with having joy. We're struggling with obedience. Yeah. And that's really what the issue is. Mm-hmm. Because when you obey, then the Lord can bring you that joy. But obedience is really the issue. And that was Naaman's problem. Is that he didn't just obey the simple instruction of the Lord. And so Naaman really had to humble out and go, "All right, I'm just going to go into Jordan and I'm going to get dipped in there 7 times and just follow that instruction." And he would have been cured from his leprosy, which he ended up getting cured, by the way. He ended up, you know, they talked to him and stuff, and he humbled out, and he went, and he was cured of his leprosy. Amen. But I think we miss out on so much joy because of simple obedience. Mm-hmm. You know, simple, like, God's like, "Man, I have everything you need," but yet obedience stops us from really experiencing the joy that we receive. So Daniel's going to come up and speak a little bit about that.
Really, really briefly. Yeah. That story always gets me because it's something that's so simple, and I think sometimes we want it to be more complicated. We want hidden answers, and we want secret ways to find joy and sort of do it our own way. But really, it's really simple. God wants to have a relationship with us. You know, we have to be in our Bible. You know, it's hard to be joyful and have a relationship with someone that you don't know. You know, it just doesn't make sense. And so I love that question of, like, how do you feel about the word obedience? Because I know for me, very early on in last year, you know, recently, like, just hearing the word obedience just made me feel like it was like a dirty word, like, ooh, like someone's trying to control me. I wanted to be super independent, do my own thing. No, but obedience is such a beautiful thing to God. Yeah. Obedience is God's love language, you know? He's like, "This is how you know love for me, to obey my commands." That's how we show our love for God, right? David had an understanding of this. In Psalm 19:8, it says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." You know, the word precept means a general rule intended to regulate behavior and thought. You know, David allowed himself to be influenced in how he thought. He allowed himself to be influenced in what he was thinking about. And that required trust in his relationship with God. That required an intimacy in his relationship with God, an understanding of who God is. And where do we find who God is? Where do we find God's character? It's in the Bible. You know, there's nowhere else to get it from. There's nowhere else to look but in the Bible. James 1, 22 to 25 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." You know, we can deceive ourselves into thinking, okay, I read my Bible. Yeah, okay, I know some of the stories. But then there's no obedience. There's no understanding. And so these things sound strange because you're not actually living it out and doing it. I remember, and I'll end here. There's more, but for time-wise. I remember I get so inspired by the older women that I get to be around, women who became disciples at 18 and 19 and are still disciples at 60 and 70. I'm like, this is amazing. And I remember standing with one of them, I was like, okay, I'm going to get the inside scoop. I'm going to figure out, like, how they've been faithful for so long, why they're so zealous. You know, what is it? What did they do? And I asked them this question, and they said, Danielle, we just love our Bible. You know, we just read our Bible. We fell in love with Jesus. And I think hearing that, I was just like, wow, it's so simple. I don't want to be like Naaman. I don't want to be like, okay, well, what about this? Maybe I'll do this instead to find joy. I want to be obedient to his word. I want to fall in love with who he is and walk closely with God. When I know who God is, I find joy because he's so consistent. He is so perfect. He is so present, you know? That's all I'm going to share.
Man, you're funny, man. So yeah, guys, obedience is a beautiful... I think what I want you to walk away from this point is that obedience is a beautiful thing, not a burden. It's a beautiful thing because there's so much beauty on the other side of it. You know, because we all became, you know, for many of us who became disciples, is when we obeyed, when we experienced the joy, right? It's when we fought through and we persevered through the challenges, right? And so we'll just go on to section two. On this section, I'm going to spend way less time than I planned because I really want to talk about the third one. Mm-hmm. But for the second one is others, right? So we get joy from others. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18 to 20, it says, Paul's explaining the relationship that he has with the church here. He says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are glory and joy." 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18 to 20. So Paul, he's writing here. He's like, hey, what is my joy? Like, what is my crown? Is it not you? Like, when you look at your other brothers and sisters, is that how you feel about them? You know, does joy spring up in your heart knowing that, man, this brother and this sister, they made the same decision I did. You know, they battled, they persevered the same way I did. You know, when someone gets baptized, that's such a beautiful moment of joy, and that's something that we've experienced. Even though we had our own, you know, we did it within ourselves, between us and God, we're going to the same destination. And think about it, at the end of your life, what's really going to bring you joy? You know, when your life is, because we're all going to see Jesus one day. And at the end of your life, what's going to matter the most? Is the money going to matter? You know, is the career you had going to matter? All that's going to matter is, who did I share this life of joy with? You know, who is it that I experienced life with? You know, I think about all the memories, you know, and I have a guy who's in here right now. I'll expose his name at the end. But for this point, I think, you know, this is a brother who really brings me joy. And I remember being one of the hardest times of my life in 2016. You know, I lost one of my aunts that I was really close to. You know, one guy, one of my best friends that I helped become a Christian, decided he didn't want to be a Christian anymore. You know, it was just so many challenges. I had a lot of mental challenges as well in terms of just, you know, being depressed and those different things. But I was like, man, I had to really think about what really brought me joy. Like, what can I go to find joy? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to help somebody become a Christian. That's just a decision I made in that moment. And then I remember on campus, you know, I was reading my Bible with another guy, and this guy named Kyrie comes over, you know, who is in here somewhere. Hey, Kai. So, I meet him. He actually met me. He come up to me like, "Yo, you reading your Bibles? Oh, snap, bro, that's dope." You know, and then he actually initiated with me. You know, and but what's amazing about that is, I found this out as an opportunity. Like, I was going through so much, but I was like, man, this guy's probably going through so much more than what I've been experiencing as a disciple. You know what I'm saying? And I decided, you know, I'm just going to serve this guy, and I'm going to build a relationship with him. And we got to build a great relationship, and I was over his house, spending time with his family. I mean, he ended up hurting his Achilles completely. And I remember I had, you know, ended up taking him to the hospital, spending time with him at the hospital, driving him back and forth. And I don't know, but I just felt so filled from that. Mm-hmm. I felt so encouraged from that, you know. And then to study the Bible with him and to see him become a Christian. I remember last year at ICMC, I saw him on stage leading a song.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, what if I never thought outside of myself?
Mm-hmm.
What if I only... Because I think the issue is sometimes to get more joy, we become more self-focused than outward-focused.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that only creates more issues.
You
know?
Yeah.
But it was such a joy for me to see him up there because I decided that in my pain and in my suffering, I'm still going to decide to help others. And that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
In his suffering, he still decided to help others. So I want to encourage you guys, just think about others. Make a conscious decision that I'm going to get my joy from helping somebody else thrive and get to know God. And lastly here in this section, yourself. Now, what I'm not saying, is you can find joy in yourself. That's not what this point is about. Okay, just saying that. Because that would be very contradicting, right? Wait, I thought we got it from Jesus. How are we going to get it from ourselves, right? But in this point, what I'm talking about is things you will have to do for yourself to experience the joy that God has. Okay? And so in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Right? So what is our heart? It's our very being. It's who we are, you know, internally and what we believe, you know, and that's something that we have to guard. And God says is very, very valuable because everything flows from it. What you say, how you act, it all first starts from the heart. And that's where it starts at. And so we're going to talk about a few joy killers. You know, what are some things that kill our joy? And we're going to do some practical things and then wrap it up. But yeah, so Dino's going to come up and she's going to share a little bit about one of them.
So, something that can steal our joy is unconfessed sin, hiding ourselves. And I'll write down Psalm 32, 1-5. This is a psalm that David wrote after his encounter with Bathsheba and really getting convicted. But one of the things that he shared is when he kept silent, his bones wasted away. He said that he felt sapped of his energy, you know. But when he confessed his transgressions, God forgave him, you know, the guilt of his sins, right? Sin has this way of isolating and separating, right? It makes us want to hide in the shadows and in the dark. You know, it makes us, we start to believe the lies that these two forms of pride where it's, I don't want to get open. I don't want anyone to see me like this. And this other form of pride of my sin is just too big that God can't take over this. You know, God can't help me with this, right? And so, once again, I think what we're really honing into is when we get self-focused, when we get inward focused, there's no room for joy, right? And so, with that, I'll share a story briefly. In 2015, my aunt passed away. She was one of my closest friends. She was supposed to help me move into an apartment in New York, and she decided to stay back home with our dog. And she ended up getting hit by a ambulance and died on impact. And so I remember dealing with that loss. That was the first time I ever lost someone who was really close to me. And I didn't know how to deal with grief. But I also didn't get help with dealing with grief because I had that idea that, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, so, okay, amen, like, God is sovereign, he's great, and so it'll be okay, right? And so slowly but surely, I stopped having my times with God. I stopped connecting with God, but I also didn't want to get help with how I was feeling in my relationship with God, right? And so to be clear, my feelings weren't sin, dealing with grief wasn't sin, but where I allowed my mind to go and my actions led me to sin, you know? And so I had to get open about when I confessed, when I brought it to the light, I'm struggling with this, you know, it's been 2 weeks and I'm still upset. And people are like, yeah, it's been 2 weeks. It's okay to be upset. You know, just hearing the reality of things helps so much. And so when we bring things to the light, we can get the help that we need. We can start to form that right relationship with God. Yep. And it's so important.
Amen. That's great.
Awesome. And so how you guys feeling? Good?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. So the second one is bad company. Okay? Bad company steals your joy. Right? Am I talking about the job you work at? Might be. All right? You get it? Company? Bad company?
It's all right, Charles. All right. Thank you.
I'm just saying.
It's okay.
Okay. So bad company, right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character, right? And what this scripture is talking about is like, all right, company, is it really the people I hang out with? Or, okay, that could be true as company. But company also means companionship, right?
Right.
Having companions with things, right? And so that includes so many other things, like your social media, right? What you watch, what you listen to. For many of us, we don't realize there's a lot of studies done. But what happens is, joy at the end of the day, right? It's seeing the work of God, right? That's what it is. When you see the work of God, you experience joy. Mm-hmm. But you can't experience joy if you're observing the work of Satan. Mm. It can't happen, right? Mm-hmm. If you're spending a lot of time seeing things that aren't beneficial to your spirituality,
right,
you can't expect to be joyful. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. You know, so what we see on TV, the movies, the music we listen to, it influences us in a way where our minds, it does something to us over time, you know? And I remember just feeling that way. I remember like 3 years ago, I ended up saying the S word. You know, I just said it. Well, and I was with some brothers when I said it, you know? And they were like, whoa, what in the world just happened? You know, it's like... But what was crazy is that I was watching this show on Netflix that was literally, it was just cussing all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I was watching it for like about a month or two. And then it just influenced me and I said it. And I was just like, whoa, I was so shocked. I thought I wasn't even going to heaven anymore after I said that. But I was just like, I just felt so convicted. I was like, man. But the reality is, what you watch and what you listen to, it's going to influence you. Yeah. It's going to have an influence on your life and your walk with God, and especially your joy. It's going to kill it. Yeah. It's going to take away. And that's how Satan works. He doesn't just come out with this big old thing. What he does is little by little.
Right.
You know, one show after another. One, and then boom. Before you know it, you're going to be like, where in the world am I? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's how Satan works. He works in small ways like that. So then lastly here, because of time, because we want to open up for some Q&A after mm-hmm. this. But the fourth one is, and honestly, this one is the closest to my heart. And it's knowing your pain.
Yeah.
Knowing your pain. So two years ago, so even last year, I mean, I've went through so much. I've lost two family members again, you know. My dad is an alcoholic, you know, and he's addicted to drugs, so he's in and out of rehab. You know, my mom's addicted to alcohol, you know, and maybe many of us in here can attest to that, you know. But there's been a lot of verbal abuse that happened to me, you know, verbal abuse, sexual abuse. I was sexually abused when I was 11 years old mm-hmm. by another guy, mm-hmm. you know, and so there's a lot of pain that I went through, you know, that, and I always wonder, what's wrong with me? You ever feel that way? Like,
yeah.
You're like, why do I feel the way I feel? Why am I down all the time? Why can't I experience this joy? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of pain that we experience that it just stays with us for a long time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I didn't realize that. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant. And I think one of the biggest things that I felt that I needed the most was I needed affirmation. And what that means is I needed someone to tell me that they love me. And I felt like I just couldn't find joy because I didn't feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't really hear my dad tell me he loved me until I was like 21.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then my mom, she would kick me up out of the house because
yeah.
of our alcohol addiction. And me and my brother couldn't get close. And so there was just a lot of things that I went through that, you know what, guys, like a lot of you guys in this room can attest to and have those experiences. But I'm here to tell you that there's hope.
Right.
But
yeah.
First, you have to know your pain. In Matthew 5, verse 4, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I first read this scripture, I was just like, wait, how are you blessed if you mourn? Isn't that, sounds backwards to me, right? And that's how pretty much the Bible is. I mean, the things that bring joy are the things that are completely backwards than what we knew our whole lives. But I really wanted to understand the scripture. And then I remember getting with a counselor in my church who's a Christian counselor, because I wanted to get counseling because I really wanted to figure out what was going on with me, like, emotionally. And he was telling me how blessed are you who mourn, because when you mourn, that means you're really dealing with the pain that's in your life.
Yeah.
So that God can then comfort you.
Right.
But what happens is when the pain isn't dealt with, you won't get the comfort that you actually need.
Right.
And it was so mind-blowing to me that that's a blessing. So I ended up getting counseling and those different things. And that's when I started learning about, you know, my pain and learning about how much I really wanted to be loved and I wasn't feeling loved and wasn't feeling appreciated and those different things. And then that was so helpful for me, because now that I know my pain, I can then deal with it. You know, I can then, and don't get me wrong, it was hard to talk about all the things I went through in my life. But the difference now is that God was with me the whole time. Mm-hmm. And now, I tell you what, I'm more joyful than I've ever been. You know, now when troubled times come, I have this perspective where it's like, this is not my home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my citizenship is in heaven. And everything that happened to me, God is gonna, when you walk into heaven, all that's gonna be gone. You know, Revelation 21 says there's gonna be no more pain, no more sorrow. You know, there's gonna be no more of that. And you're gonna be able to experience that for yourself. But I think for us, we just gotta figure out what is my pain. And I wanna encourage you to talk and try to talk to somebody that you trust to really talk about these things, because man, God is gonna blow your mind with the amount of joy you're gonna be able to receive once you really know your pain and what you've been through. And in Psalm 30, verse 5, let's kind of close this out here, but it says, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. This is my favorite part. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning.
Amen.
God has never intended for you to be where you're at today and just stay there. He has a plan for you to rejoice. So guys, section one, we get our joy from Jesus. He's the only one. There's nowhere we can find joy outside of Jesus. You know, we get it from being outward focused, you know, focusing on others and helping them with their pain with God. And being able to experience joy from that. And lastly here is yourself. Dealing with what are the things inside of me that I need to bring out to the light so that I can get the help that I need to experience the joy that God wants for you. Amen? All right, guys, so that's the end of my class. So, we're going to take some time now. I mean, we have about 10 minutes. Actually, we have more than that. We have about 15 because we started at 12:05. But, yeah, so...